You're listening to the Web Marketing Adelaide podcast. We give you the tips and strategies to help you utilise the web to get more traffic, leads and sales for your business. Now here's your host, Nick Morris.
Welcome back to the Web Marketing Adelaide podcast. This is episode number 24, and this week we're talking about tools and software that I use regularly in my business and for my clients and that you might find useful for your business. I've divided them up into different sections, and I'm basically just going to go through them, discuss what they're about and why I use them, and maybe you can get some interesting ideas and tools for your business that can save you time and money and help you to succeed this year. Okay, my first little section is websites. And now if you've listened to my previous podcast, you'll know that I'm a big fan of WordPress. WordPress is a content management system which is free, it's open source, which means lots of different developers around the world collaborate together online, usually to bring together this piece of software and to update it and keep updating and adding new features. It's the most popular content management system in the world. I think something like 50% of the top million websites use WordPress and 20% of all new websites use WordPress, so it's extremely popular. It's extremely easy to use. I recommend it to everyone for their websites in general. It's great for blogging and stuff as well, and you can basically the content management system itself sort of sits there and manages everything from the admin dashboard. And then in order to change designs, you have themes, and there's many free ones out there. You can also get premium ones or customized ones. That's how you sort of change the look and feel of the website. And the other thing is plugins, and this is how you add extra functionality. So the basic WordPress has a bunch of different functions, but then to add sort of additional functionality, you use plugins. And one of my favorite plugins is called WordPress SEO by Yoast. This is a fantastic SEO plugin for WordPress. It's probably the best one out there. There's quite a few out there. Another big one, a popular one, is called All-in-One SEO, but I think this WordPress SEO by Yoast is probably surpassed that other one in its simplicity, its range of different options and features and ease of use, and it's just getting constantly updated, so you know he's on top of Yoast, the guy that releases the plugin and updates it. You know he's on top of things and adding new features all the time when search engines make changes, so that's one I think you should definitely add. Another one I've just started using recently is called WP Manage. It's actually a service, it's a paid service. It's a freemium model. Most of the things that are paid are in fact a freemium model, which means you can get a basic account or basic features for free, and then you pay for the more advanced features. And WP Manage is great if you have multiple WordPress sites like I do. I've got client sites, and I've also got multiple sites of my own. And I purchased a one-year package for, I think, 10 sites to be managed with manage WP or WP Manage. I can't remember which one it is. Basically, you add a plugin to all of the sites you want to use, and you sort of verify it with the WP Manage dashboard, and then you can go in there and make updates to plugins, update to themes, updates to the WordPress itself. You can add posts, you can update different pages and posts that are already on the websites, and you don't have to log into each website individually, so it's really handy if you have multiple websites. You can also do some more functionality like backups, if you want to do sort of weekly or monthly or daily backups of your work in case something happens in the future. You can do that with WP Manage, and you can also do things like security scans and stuff like that. So far I found it to be really good. They've just done a major update of the interface, so I think it's looking really good for now and into the future, and I guess probably by the end of the year I'll know if it's really something I want to proceed with. However, if you're not wanting to pay for something like this, then there's actually another solution called Infinite WP, which I believe is free, or it might just be more features that are free with the paid model as well, or might be completely free. I'm not quite sure about that, but that's Infinite WP. You can check out. Now my next section is podcasting. Obviously I'm pretty into podcasting. I've got this podcast going now for quite a few months, and I've got a few more podcast ideas in the works, so I'm quite into the podcasting thing. My main tools for podcasting at the moment are I use my iPhone when I'm out and about. This is a fairly guerrilla way of recording, but you can just use the voice recorder feature on the iPhone, and it produces pretty good sound. It's not perfect, and it's not sort of split up into two different channels, so you can edit it very easily. So it's not perfect, but it gets the sound, and I already had an iPhone, so it was, you know, basically a free solution, apart from what I was already paying for the iPhone. I use Skype to do interviews over Skype with guests that are at home or at their office or whatever, so when we can't actually meet up, and that's really handy as well. I use Audacity, a free program for editing. It's a pretty got a lot of functions and features. I don't know how to use all of them yet, but I'm getting there. But it's really easy to just go in there and edit stuff. I use something called Amazon S3. This is one of Amazon, the book, originally bookseller, now massive online retailer. They also have a section of their business which offers cloud storage and other storage solutions for business, and S3 is simple storage, I think it's called, or really simple storage or something like that. And this is like really cheap storage, so I put my podcast files up on Amazon S3, and you can do the same if you have large files that you want to make available to be downloaded for really without sort of sucking away your website's bandwidth. And the other thing you can do with that is if you're expecting a large load of traffic, it's a good idea to separate your large files out from your website, because you don't want to crash your website if you have a large amount of traffic. You want to leave that website up and running to take advantage of that traffic. So if you have large audio files or large downloads, videos perhaps, that are people downloading, which might suck out your bandwidth, put them on something like Amazon S3, which will probably not fail, and then you can sort of get the best of both worlds when you get large amounts of traffic. Another thing I'll mention on podcasting is that the PowerPress plugin, I think it's called the Blueberry PowerPress plugin. This is a WordPress plugin, free again, and it's really handy for releasing podcasts. So you just take the Amazon S3 URL they give you for the file, and you just drop it into the special little field in WordPress within the plugin, and bam, it produces the player, and it produces the download link, and it adds it to the feed for iTunes, so it's really handy. Okay, this next section's on SEO. That's sort of my bread and butter. That's the main part of the services I do for my clients, although it's moving towards sort of content marketing as well. But SEO, I've got lots of different SEO tools. So I've already mentioned WordPress SEO for WordPress, for optimizing WordPress. So again, I'll just mention that. Another tool I use is called Market Samurai. Now this is a paid tool, but they do actually have, I think it's a 30-day free trial. It's about $100, $100 to $200, depending on if you've got a special in there or not. Really handy. Basically, I use it for measuring SEO competition. So that's looking at different keyword phrases and seeing the relative competition. And Market Samurai does a really great job of pulling together data from lots of different sources and sort of displaying it together so that you can make a judgment about how competitive a phrase is. So I would recommend that one if you're sort of looking into getting optimizing your website seriously. Another one is the SEO Quake Chrome extension or plugin for Chrome. So similar to Firefox, you can get bits of software that you sort of plug in to the browser, which lets you do extra stuff. And the SEO Quake one is one that gives you various different metrics for any web page you're on, and also shows those metrics in the search results if you've got that setting turned on. And you can see things like index count, that's the number of pages from a particular website which are indexed in Google. You can see things like page rank, which is Google's sort of measure of authority of websites. You can see domain age. You can see various different things. A lot of them I don't really use, but I like to look at page rank just to sort of get an idea of the strength of different websites as I'm browsing or I'm doing research or whatever. So that's a free tool, so you might as well add it if you're interested in getting that. Of course, the next one is Google's keyword tool. This is a major part of pretty much every SEO in the world's SEO arsenal for doing keyword research, determining, basically you can drop in a seed keyword or a few seed keywords to do with your product or service or website or whatever, and then it will generate a bunch of other keywords that Google has analyzed and determines that are relevant to this keyword, the keywords you've entered, and it also gives you their estimate of monthly search traffic. Now this search traffic shouldn't be taken as, you know, absolutely the numbers, but it's a good way to get the a relative feel of which are the phrases that are getting more traffic and which the ones that are not. So that's really handy, and it's also good for finding other phrases you may not have been aware of before by using that sort of suggest feature that's in there. A few more Google products here. Google Analytics, free analytics program, probably considered by most to be sort of the industry standard analytics package for certainly for small businesses, being free, being really easy to use. All you need is your Google account and you need to put some code on each of your websites. Google Webmaster Tools. Everyone should be verifying their website with Google Webmaster Tools. It allows Google to send you messages related to your website. For instance, if your website was to get hacked, they could find that out when they crawl your website next and actually send you an email saying, hey, we discovered some malware on this page. Or they can also send you emails if they get a large number of 404s from certain pages. So for whatever reason, one of your pages is broken, maybe one of your popular pages, they might get a lot of errors on their end, and then they send you an email saying, hey, check out this errors we found, and then you can go in there and fix it. So it's really handy for that. You can also make make different settings in there, which are handy. You can set whether you want to use the www or non-www version of your website, which is important. You can also set the location you're trying to target, as in country-wise. Yeah, there's lots of different features in there, and you can also get data and stuff in there as well, as well as the stuff you can get in Google Analytics with some extra stuff. Another tool I use is called Majestic SEO. I use this for gathering backlink data. So a major part of SEO is, as you would have heard in some of my previous episodes talking about SEO, search engine optimization, Majestic SEO goes out into the web, crawls masses of the web, and measures and records the links going from one website to another. And links are important for SEO, so it's a good way to see where your competitors are getting their links from, for instance, and what sort of types of content are getting lots of links. And you can use it to analyze the sort of links you should be trying to get for your website, or in my case for my clients. So that's a paid solution too, but it's not as expensive as some of the other ones that are out there, some of the other paid backlink data solutions. Now just a few more tools, a few general ones. Evernote. I had this one recommended to me by a few different people, and I sort of started using it about 6 months ago, and I've been sort of playing around with it over that time and really started to get into it just recently. It's basically a note-taking application. It's a freemium model again. You can get quite a lot for free, so most people probably would never even use the paid model, maybe if you get sort of really into it. But it allows you to have notebooks and make notes in the notebooks, so organizing it in different ways, putting tags in there. It's very sort of searchable. You make a note, you can easily sort of come back to it later by using the search functionality. It syncs across your different devices, so I have the app on my iPhone if I'm out at an event, and a networking event, or I'm on the bus listening to a podcast or something. I can quickly grab the phone, grab the Evernote app, make a note, and then when I get home, it'll be synced to my computer. Then I can go ahead and action that, look up that link or send that email I'd meant to send, or whatever, or file away that article for reading later. So Evernote is a really cool thing that's been really useful so far, and I'm starting to use it more and more. Another thing that I absolutely love, another Google thing, I'm a bit of a Google fanboy in some ways, I use Google Docs a lot. In fact, right now my list of show notes for this episode is in Google Docs. Google Docs is basically Google's version, or the version in a way of sort of Microsoft Office. They're sort of word processing suite of different programs. So there's an Excel version, a Google Docs version of Excel called spreadsheets, I think, and there's one for Word, and there's one for PowerPoint, and there's various different ones on there. It's not quite as robust or powerful as the local versions, such as Excel. If you wanna really get in some data with, you know, if you've got thousands and thousands of data points, then Google Docs isn't for you for those documents. But certainly for smaller documents, for smaller spreadsheets, Google Docs is fantastic. You put your stuff in there, and it's available anywhere that you log in, because it's in the cloud. You can also sort of sync it to your computer using something called Google Drive. So that's Google's version of Dropbox, if you've heard of that. Dropbox being something that sort of exploded onto the scene a couple of years ago. It's a good way to easily manage your cloud storage. So if you want to store something for good, or you want to share it with someone over the internet, then you drop it in a folder on your computer called a Dropbox, and then it will automatically be copied into the cloud, into your Dropbox account, and then it can be downloaded on your other devices, or someone else can download it, or it can be kept in safekeeping there in case something happens to your computer or whatever. Now, Google Drive is basically just Google's version of that, and it sort of integrates into Google Docs. So all the stuff that's in your documents stuff on Google Docs is automatically in Google Drive, and then you have a Google Drive folder on your computer. So now I've over Christmas I went through and basically synced up all of my local documents I had for clients and whatnot, so that they are now synced up with Google Drive and with Google Docs as well. So if I want to access a document, I've got it on my computer there to access. I've also got it on my Google Drive account, so it's been kept safe there, and I can access it from work. When I'm out somewhere else, or whether I'm in the office or wherever I am. So it's pretty handy for that. And you can also do some tricky things, like you can have multiple people working on the same document. Collaboration sort of tools. I can take a document, you know, a report I'm doing or a spreadsheet, and if I want to get some feedback from a client on it, I can just send them the link, or I can share it with them directly if they have a Google account, and they can go in and look at it. They can give their notes. I can give my notes. And it's kind of a really easy way of doing it, rather than sending documents back and forth. So Google Docs, Google Drive, certainly I recommend that. I've mentioned my iPhone a little bit already as far as podcasting goes, and use of Evernote app on there. I also use it for listening to podcasts. I'll do quite a lot of podcast listening for different marketing podcasts to keep up to date on the news and, you know, tools and things that people are, strategies that people are talking about. And podcasting, it's really easy to do from your iPhone, if you have an iPhone. It's a very easy way to consume information, especially if you're in a place, maybe you're driving, you just put it on instead of the radio, or you're on the bus, public transport, or sometimes I listen to podcasts as I go to sleep, although probably not the best for marketing podcasts, because I tend to kind of get into them and I can't get to sleep, so it's not the best for that. But podcasts, yeah, a really great way of consuming information. And some people actually even have told me, I've never done this myself, but they listen to their podcasts on 1.5 or double speed to get sort of more information quickly, because a lot of people perhaps talk a little slowly, and you can speed that up and get that information a bit faster. Another app I use on my iPhone is the Gmail app, so I can then get my emails wherever I am, my work emails. So just have the app on there, and then you can sort of check it when you have some downtime, if you're out and about, and see if there's anything important in there that you need action. Another thing that's been really good for my business is getting a Skype number. So I work from home, and I don't have a second landline, and rather than putting a second landline in for my office number or using the home number as sort of both, I decided to get a Skype number. So this was really easy to do. It's not that expensive. It's, I can't remember exactly, about $30 per 3 months or something like that. I have numbers, like local numbers for South Australia, which is great. I think I got a really good number. It's 08 8121 8122. Really easy to remember, easy to say. And so if someone rings that number, it basically comes through Skype onto my computer. So I just pick up my headset, which is great too, because it means I can just talk on the headset and use my hands for typing or looking up things or writing notes. So that's been a really handy thing to have, and it's really not that expensive either. And then you can just buy a Skype credit to use for making outgoing calls. And yeah, Skype being used in that way is really handy for me and my business. And apart from me telling you now, most people won't be able to tell the difference. Sometimes the quality can be a little bit bad depending on your internet connection and how it's going, but for the most part it just looks like a regular number, and it could be your regular office number. And another thing I'll just add here, I just mentioned the Gmail app for my iPhone. You can also have a Skype app as well, so you can check if you've got calls to your Skype number, and you can actually take calls on your phone, although the quality is not perfect for that. It depends on your reception as well, strength of your reception where you are for data. But you can certainly see if someone's called you and make a note if you need to call them back or whatever. My last little section here is not really a section, it's just one tool. It's a social section, and Hootsuite is the one I use for managing, at the moment, managing multiple Twitter accounts. I've got several sort of spread out over for different projects, and Hootsuite allows me to have them all there without having to log into different accounts. I can just tweet something and retweet it from a different account and reply to different people, and you can see everything there. It's been really handy. Adelaide actually has quite a active social media marketing community, or social media community. So I'll give some links in the show notes to that. Along with that comes a number of people that use Hootsuite, and we've actually got a good friend of mine called Ben Teo, who organises, he's a bit of a Hootsuite guru, and he organises Hootsuite meetups every now and then. We have had one not too long ago, and there was actually some free drinks and some swag there, so it was a good opportunity to sort of get out, do some networking, and learn a bit more about Hootsuite. So I'll put some links up for that, and maybe that's something you can look into if Hootsuite and managing social media accounts is something you might look into. I mean, I use it mostly for Twitter, but you can actually manage multiple different accounts, Twitter and Facebook and probably other social media accounts on there too. Okay, just before we finish up, I've got two tools I'm thinking about using this year, but I haven't sort of got around to start using yet. One, a physical tool, is called the Zoom microphone. Zoom makes a whole bunch of different pretty cool portable microphones that you can take around. This would be fantastic for my podcasting stuff, and also for just generally producing anything with audio. So I'm seriously considering that. There's a few different ones ranging from, I think, under $100 to sort of $500-$600, so I'll probably get one in the middle there. Another piece of software I'm looking at getting, this little deer, is around $300, but I think it's going to be really good. It's called Camtasia, and it's a screen flow software, so it's for recording your screen. So if you're doing something on your screen, for me, could be showing a client how to use WordPress, for instance, or showing someone how to do something on the computer, you can turn on something like Camtasia, and it will actually record what's going on your screen. So that's one I'm going to look at getting this in the near future as well. So we'll see how that goes. One thing I'll say before we finish off is be careful of tool creep. So you can sort of get really excited about all these different tools, and you just keep on adding tools, especially if they're free or cheap, and then you might find that it starts to slow down your processes rather than speed them up. So try to reevaluate all the tools you're using in your business regularly, so you can cast away anything that you're not really using anymore and it might be sort of causing your process to be more complicated than it needs to be, and not really sort of helping you in the long run. So be careful of tool creep. And that brings us to the end of episode number 24. I'm going to have links to all this stuff in the show notes. You can head over there, you can see those links, and if you've got any tools that you use in your business that you think are really useful and you want to, or you'd like to share them, I'd love you to share them, you can leave a comment underneath the show notes for this episode number 24. You could also leave a voice message. I've got a voice message widget over on the right-hand side of the screen. You'll see it sort of pop up when you come on the website. Click on that, leave a voice message, introduce yourself, mention your business, and that'll go out on the podcast, some extra marketing for you. and mention any tools that you find particularly useful for your business, and I'll try and include it in a future episode. Until next week, have a good one, and I'll see you then.